Good morning, this is Jeremy Deeds, Certified Financial Planner and Registered Life Planner with my Money Manifesto for Monday the 13th of May. I want to talk this morning about the old adage that if it's too good to be true, it probably isn't true. And this is prompted by an email I received last week, which I found so worrying. I was in two minds as to whether to refer it to the regulator or to my IT guy to see if the attachment was a virus. I'll come back to that, but it arrived at an interesting time for me because I've recently been reading Erin Arvidland's book about Bernie Madoff, the man who stole $65 billion. Just to remind you, in the quarter of a century to 2008, Bernie Madoff ran a Ponzi scheme from the 17th floor of the Lipstick Building in New York. Essentially, this was a vast financial black hole. It sucked in around $65 billion of investors' money from around the globe, the majority of which was never seen again, and Madoff, of course, is now serving a life sentence or two. I met Erin a couple of weeks ago when she was in the UK researching her new book about the LIBOR rate-fixing affair, and she's fascinating about Madoff, and I would certainly recommend her book. It makes really interesting reading, not only for the description of the sheer scale of the numbers involved, which are really unbelievable, but also about the wheeling and dealing that went on, and also, of course, for the very human story behind the scandal. But in her book, Erin asks, how did human nature and Madoff's investors' willingness to delude themselves play a role? In a sense, the fraud was a vast, unwitting conspiracy among Madoff, his colleagues, family, friends, and investors. The conspiracy perpetuated a fantasy. Madoff promised returns that were too good to be true, and everyone else conspired to believe his unbelievable promises. Madoff was a master illusionist. Okay, he may have been an illusionist, but he was also a clever one. He started by offering returns of 10 to 12%, and those are good and attractive. They're not hugely excessive in the booming stock market years of the 90s. What was unusual was his consistency over 25 years, and that was certainly a huge red flag. Madoff hit the social circuit, and he recruited socially competent agents to feed his fund, getting them to recruit in investors from around the world and paying them significant commissions to do so at the same time. Madoff also played the exclusivity card, making investors even more desperate to access his fund when told they couldn't. But interesting, he never allowed due diligence on his fund, which was another significant red flag. Indeed, there were so many red flags, as Arvidland points out, but both investors and regulators paid them absolutely no heed. As you probably recall, Madoff was finally brought down by the 2008 financial crisis. The money stopped coming in. Indeed, investors demanded their money back in order to keep liquid in difficult times. And of course, the money just wasn't there. So what's all this got to do with the email I received last week? Well, it was to my professional address, peddling an investment. So obviously, the senders were looking at me to recommend this to my clients. And the investment offers investments of up to 15% per annum. Now, that is some return in today's markets, pointing either to extraordinarily high risk and obviously scope for losses, or something very different. Interestingly, the email went on to offer commission, not in commissions, but significant ones at that, ones that would require even higher returns if everyone was going to make something out of this. And that too is interesting because commissions, as far as I can recall, were banned by our financial regulator in January. So I looked a little bit further and found that this was an unregulated investment being marketed out of the Seychelles, and all in all, not something I'd really wanted to recommend to my clients. So I'm shortly going to delete that email and just have a look though at the lessons. One, of course, if it's too good to be true, it probably isn't true, and I think it's always worth bearing that one in mind. But more importantly, here we once again see the emphasis on returns, not on risk. And as a financial planner, I'm interested in working out what returns you need to achieve your goals, then aiming for those returns with the least risk, not in chasing every advert offering huge returns simply for the sake of making money. The key principle which you've got to remember here is that money should be seen as a means to an end, not an end in itself. The art of financial planning, as I said so often before, is to make sure that we all have the right money in the right place at the right time to achieve our deep and profound life goals. That's it from me. Have a very good week. Take care, and I'll speak to you again next week.